Today is the second Sunday after Pentecost. It's the solemnity of Corpus Christi. There's a little bit of confusion, I'm sure, because the bulletin says there's no high mass today, but that was because the bulletin was printed before I knew that we had replacement singers coming here, so I want to thank them for filling in today for our choir and singing the high mass on this solemnity of Corpus Christi. We are celebrating the feast of Corpus Christi, so it's in your missal just before the second Sunday after Pentecost. It was this past Thursday. This coming Friday is the Feast of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, and it's also the ordination in Winona. So I'll be going to Winona for those ordinations. And I wanted to ask your prayers in particular for the four young men, Mark Stafke and Stephen Arabages, Paul Robinson and Dominic May, who are going to be ordained priests. We should pray for all our priests, but especially those being ordained on that day. And then, of course, Saturday is the feast of John the Baptist. St. John the Baptist, there was none holier, born of women, said our Lord. So we should try to celebrate that feast with a special devotion. That same weekend as the Father-Son weekend here in the parish, so if you are interested in going to that at the Demers residence, please make sure you sign up on the sign-up sheet in the vestibule of the church. And you can call Mick Bryant if you have any questions about the weekend. The banns of marriage are announced for the first time for Corby Bronger and Andrea Bullock, who are going to be married here on July the 8th. Yesterday we had a wedding here. Frank and Trudy Lunetta got married here yesterday. And I wanted to just mention that I was very pleased with the decorations in the church and all the work that went into decorating the church and cleaning up afterwards. It was very well done, and I know it was a lot of work to do, and we're very grateful to those who stepped in and did that work. The second collection today is for the cemetery, so we're still, you know, making preparations for our cemetery, so please do what you can to contribute to the second collection today for that. Now, because it's the solemnity of Corpus Christi today, we are having benediction. As I said, I didn't know there was going to be a high mass today. If we had been able to plan better, we would have had a procession as well today. But nevertheless, we will have benediction, which was scheduled even if we were just going to have a low mass. Now, the hymns for benediction, I'll just announce them at the altar, so you'll take your hymnals there in the pews, and I'll announce the hymn as we are preparing to sing, that we are preparing to sing. So that's right after Mass today, and I hope that the church will be full for that. I hope that you won't leave, that you'll stay for the benediction of the Blessed Sacrament. The epistle for today, the Feast of Corpus Christi is taken from St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 11. Brethren, for I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread and giving thanks, broke and said, "Take ye and eat, this is my body which shall be delivered for you. This do for the commemoration of me." In like manner also the chalice, after he had supped, saying, "This chalice is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as often as you shall drink, for the commemoration of me. For as often as you shall eat this bread and drink this chalice, you shall show the death of the Lord until he come. Therefore, whosoever shall eat this bread or drink the chalice of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man prove himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of the chalice. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh judgment to himself, not discerning the body of the Lord." Please stand for the gospel, which is taken from St. John, chapter 6. At that time, Jesus said to the multitude of the Jews, "My flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood abideth in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, and as I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, the same also shall live by me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth this bread shall live forever. Thus far the words of today's holy gospel. He that eateth this bread shall live forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Feast of Corpus Christi has a great importance in our world today, perhaps more so than when it was originally promulgated. Whenever there is a feast day that is instituted by the church, it's always to defend a doctrine that's under attack. And in the 13th century, the doctrine of the Holy Eucharist was coming under attack by certain heretics at the time who were denying the real presence. But today, as I said, the feast day is even more important because there are a lot more heretics today than there were in the 13th century. A lot more people who deny the existence of our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. Perhaps some of them don't understand and say it out of ignorance, but the Blessed Sacrament is under great attack today. Since 1969, nearly all the changes in the new church, in the modern Catholic Church, have been to take away from our devotion to the Blessed Sacrament. So it's a little bit of a history lesson here. I hope you'll be patient with me, because many of you aren't old enough to remember these things. But I assure you, these things are all true. The communion rails were removed in the churches. And most people didn't think much of it, except that what it meant was people would no longer kneel for Holy Communion. And it came as quite a shock to many a traditional Catholic when they went up to receive communion as normal and knelt down and were told to stand up. And if they did not stand up, they were refused Holy Communion. I've known this to happen to many people. So first of all, people were standing for communion, which seems like they said at first that it was out of convenience because there were so many people receiving communion. But you know that wasn't true, because it was no quicker than having everyone kneel at a railing. When everyone was kneeling at the railing, communion went just as quickly. As a matter of fact, maybe more so, because when people were standing for communion, you were having to wait for the next person in line. So the minister of the Holy Eucharist was having to wait for the next one to come up. So it was all part of a plan, because what was the next thing? Well, then it was, well, so many people are going to communion, we have to have Eucharistic ministers. And that's why they established these people called extraordinary ministers. Remember, at first they were called extraordinary ministers, when in fact they became very ordinary. They were supposed to be only when it was necessary, but very quickly they became ministers of the Holy Eucharist all the time. At that same time, the paten disappeared. They didn't use the paten anymore. Why was that? Well, it was to prepare us for communion in the hand. You don't need the paten if everyone's receiving in the hand. And you'll see that once they had Eucharistic ministers giving out the Holy Eucharist, then everybody's handling the Holy Eucharist anyway. That is, lay people are handling it anyway, so why not have communion in the hand? But you'll notice that every single one of these things took away from people's reverence for the Blessed Sacrament. No more kneeling, no more receiving with a paten underneath your chin, receiving no longer just from a minister or from a priest, but now from Mrs. Smith and Mrs. Jones down the street. And then they started giving communion in the hand, which really destroyed the reverence and the respect that was due the Most Blessed Sacrament. Then they also started giving communion under both kinds. And you might say, but Father, that doesn't seem that it would take away from our devotion. But it did. And I'll explain to you why. Because once people started receiving communion under both kinds, that is the bread and wine, they no longer understood that Jesus was entire, whole, present in the Blessed Sacrament under just one species. That is, the host alone contained his body, blood, soul, and divinity, that Jesus was truly and substantially there, entirely, as a person, as a living person. His body and blood could no longer be divided because he is now living forever in heaven. And so all we needed to receive was just the host. And that receiving of the precious blood seems like a nice thing, but it actually took away from people's devotion and understanding of the Holy Eucharist. And what is more is that they could not preserve the Blessed Sacrament under the species of wine. So, after Mass, they were pouring the precious blood down the sacrarium, that is, down the sink in the sacristy, which also takes away from our reverence and our understanding of what a holy thing this is. All these changes took place as part of a plan, and that plan seems to have been to destroy people's devotion. Now, I'm not saying that everyone involved understood what they were doing, but I am saying to you that the devil was behind it. Because you see what it did to the church. It took away our love for the Holy Eucharist. People no longer went and prayed and made holy hours. They never went. People no longer knelt in front of the Blessed Sacrament because it was removed from the main altars. That is another change. The Blessed Sacrament in most churches was moved to a side altar. Everything was done to take away from it, to take away from Jesus and the Holy Eucharist. Some priests recognized it and started going back to the older ways. And there are some priests today, and it's strange to say, but you'll notice today it's the younger priests in the new church that are bringing back some of the older customs. Thank God for that. But that's why we need these feast days like this one of the Solemnity of Corpus Christi, that we would have a greater love and understanding of what we have in the Blessed Sacrament. Jesus has been ignored. In these past 35 years, our Lord has been treated worse than he was treated by those who tried to stone him when he was alive. People just ignore him, which is worse. They don't even pay attention. And kids today don't know what they're receiving in the new church, especially. They don't understand. I dare you, ask any kid in the Novus Ordo Church. Do you receive bread? Yes. Is it Jesus? They'll say yes. And then they'll say, but is it really Jesus? No. Ask any kid. They don't understand. They're all confused because they don't understand the doctrine of the Blessed Sacrament. They haven't been trained. And what's worse is the manner in which they receive communion doesn't help their devotion at all. They've gotten into a thinking it's just a ritual. They just go up, they receive communion in the hand. They don't even let kids today making their first communion receive on the tongue. They teach them from the time of their first communion to receive in the hand. And it's completely destroyed their understanding and their devotion. As a matter of fact, now when those same kids come to the traditional Mass, maybe because a grandparent brings them, or an aunt or an uncle bring them, they don't know what they're doing. And they go up to the communion rail and they're giggling because they've never received on the tongue before in their life. It's all these things have taken away our reverence. And they come up with these things like, is the tongue any greater than the hand? I've heard many Novus Ordo people say that as a defense for communion in the hand. And they say, they're both members of our body, so what difference does it make? What difference? The Holy Eucharist is not to be handled by anyone except who has consecrated hands. And when you receive on the tongue, every single particle is preserved. When you receive in the hand, constantly, particles of the Blessed Sacrament are being brushed on the floor and on clothing. The Holy Eucharist is being desecrated in every Mass in the new church. That's what the difference is. And so we must not be guilty of the same. We have to have a great reverence for our Lord in the Holy Eucharist. Don't be like so many people who have lost the faith in the 1970s and 80s and 90s. There are a lot of people who became traditional for a short time, and then they left the church. They fell away. And you know why? Because they never had the devotion to the Holy Eucharist in here. They never had the love, personal love for Jesus Christ in the Holy Eucharist. And that's why it's so important for you to have a great love of the Blessed Sacrament. If you would, read today's Gospel from the second Sunday after Pentecost, which we had at the first Mass today. I'll just read you a few lines from it. It's about a man who had a great supper, and he invited many people to that supper, and they all began to make excuses why they couldn't come or they couldn't stay. I have married a wife. I have 5 yoke of oxen. I have to go to work. You know, blah, 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 blah. And the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, "Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the feeble and the blind and the lame." And the servant said, "Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room." And the Lord said to the servant, "Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. But I say unto you that none of these men that were invited shall taste of my supper." Now, I don't have to explain to you that that supper is the holy sacrifice of the Mass and the Holy Eucharist, and that those that are invited are Roman Catholics. And when they neglect because of a lack of care or understanding for what that great supper is, our Lord is going to take the faith away from them. Your faith is a gift, and if you do not appreciate it, you will lose it, and it will be given to another. And that's why I said to you that the resurgence of traditionalism in the church today is coming not from those who remember the traditional Mass, but from those who never had it. Our Lord is giving that faith to those who have never had it, because it has been unappreciated by those who are given this gift. It is happening every single day. Open your eyes. Where are all the traditional Catholics? That is, where are all those who are traditional in the 70s and 80s? The young people in those days, they lost the faith. What happened to all the older people, the senior citizens who remember the traditional faith from before Vatican II? They lost the faith. The fact that you are here, and most of the people here, are too young to have remembered the old Mass, it's a proof of what I'm telling you. That most of you here today are here because the gift of faith has been given to you. But if you do not appreciate it, it will be taken away from you and given to someone else. You must be like Zacchaeus in the Gospel. You remember Zacchaeus? He so longed to see Jesus that he climbed up a sycamore tree. He was too short to see our Lord because of the crowd, and he climbed up into a tree in order that he might see him. Our Lord loves that kind of devotion. And he looked up at Zacchaeus, and he called him by name. And he said, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide in thy house." Our Lord became a friend of a man that was known as a sinner and a publican. But our Lord didn't care about his past. He cared now about what was in his heart now, today. And that should be a great lesson for you. We're all sinners. But Jesus doesn't look so much at your past. He is looking at what's in your heart here and now today. Do you have that kind of love and devotion that Zacchaeus had? Do you long to be with Jesus? Because if you do, he will make you a very dear friend of his. And he will say to you, today I must abide in thy house. That is, he will be with you always and everywhere. No matter where you go, our Lord will be with you to strengthen you and help you. This will be the gift of your faith. Don't ever neglect it, and don't ever forget that. You must also be like a little girl named Emma, who was Protestant, who really was nothing. She had no religion, but her parents told her this: don't ever go to the Catholics. Don't ever go to the Catholic Church. They had an aversion that was incredible to the Catholic religion. And she told me that one day, it was a Sunday afternoon, and she was walking down the street, and she heard this beautiful music and singing. And she looked up, and it was coming from the Catholic Church. And the doors were open because it was a beautiful summer day, much like today. And the doors of the church were wide open, and she could see right down the aisle of the church. And she could see the altar all lit up with candles and the monstrance on the altar. She didn't know what it was. All she knew was in her heart, God is there. She told me this, and she was just a young girl of 11 or 12 years old. And she knew God is in that church. She was so scared, though, of Catholics and of the Catholic Church that she went across the street, she told me, and hid behind a tree, but still allowing herself to see into that church. And she stayed there, longing to be part of that congregation, praying that she might be able to one day be close to God like all of those people. What a beautiful faith that was, or a beautiful gift of faith that was given to that 12-year-old girl. You know what she told me? She said she had to start hinting around to friends in school that she knew to be Catholic, until finally one of them invited her to Mass. Because she knew, I can't just go, my parents would kill me. But she knew that if somebody invited her, she could just say, Mom, Dad, I was invited to go to church with somebody, and they wouldn't stop her. And that's what she did. And she started being invited to go to Mass, but she never told her parents it was Catholics. She just said, I'm going to church. For they didn't even go to any church. And then she started taking instructions from the priest, and she became a Roman Catholic. Later on, when the church started changing, she became a traditional Roman Catholic. And today, that little girl is now a very fervent and dedicated member of one of our parishes in the society. You see, the gift of faith is given to those who long to see Jesus and to be with him in the Holy Eucharist. Be like Zacchaeus and be like that little girl, Emma, and God will reward you. Come to the supper that he is asking you to attend. That is the Holy Mass, and receive the gift that he has given you at that supper, his body, blood, soul, and divinity. This is a foretaste of that great supper that you will have one day in heaven. Don't ever neglect this, and don't ever forget what you have been given. For if you do, you will lose the faith. It will be given to another. Let us then at Mass today beg the Blessed Mother and all the angels and saints of heaven to pray for us, that our faith might be strengthened, that we might have such a love and devotion to the Blessed Sacrament that even as this world is dark and losing the faith, that we might never do so. That we, 20 and 30 years from now, when people say, where are all the traditional Catholics of the early 2000s? We'll say, here I am. I'm old and enfeebled, but here I am. I still believe. And that is what we pray for. Because it is not enough to be Catholic just
for a few years to be traditional here and now, and then we're going to go back to the Novus Ordo. This is a lifelong thing. And this is something we want to pass on to our grandchildren. So pray at Mass at this great feast and during benediction today that your devotion to the Holy Eucharist might be increased and your faith might never wane. Beg this from our Blessed Mother and all the saints in heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.